So, you know, we want to get offended no matter what anyone does. Unless they become like us and capitulate to what we want.
Interface. Not the same questions, not the same answers.
Hello, I'm Brad Johnson, and welcome to Interface, a weekly examination of Christian perspectives on theology, philosophy, ethics, and culture with Adam Ayers, the pastor of Disciples Church in Costa Mesa, and he's also the founder of the Stoa Foundation. And joining us in the studio tonight is Jim Baldwin, also a pastor of Disciples Church, and Chris Holowaty, our esteemed engineer. And we are here sitting in a circle in the studio wishing you happy holidays. We want to give everybody equal time tonight, so we'd like to wish you a happy Saturnalia, winter solstice, Christmas, Hanukkah, Ramadan, New Year's Eve, Boxing Day, Kwanzaa, what else? NFL playoffs, if you're an atheist. I think we've touched most of them. And that's, you know, we just want to be as politically correct as possible for the next 60 seconds. And that's going to lead us into our discussion.
Shall we observe a moment of silence there for that? Thank you very
much. That's enough. All right.
Okay.
If you didn't tune out on that, then hopefully you'll be with us for our discussion of living as Christians in a pluralistic society. What do you do as a Christian when you live in a society that's full of people that don't believe like you do?
The reason why this topic came up, pluralism, is because I was talking with a friend who had just visited a local coffee shop and was surprised to find out that they no longer carried the Christmas blend, but now they carried the holiday blend. And he was a believer, and he inquired as to what had happened to the Christmas blend, and was there any difference between the Christmas blend and the holiday blend, and found out that there really was no difference. It's the same coffee, just a different packaging. And so that led to him asking, well, why the change? And that led to a whole discussion of, well, we don't want to offend anybody. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting situation. And I've been giving a lot of thought lately, working here at the studio and being pretty much the only Christian here, and noticing that it's oftentimes awkward to know how to respond to people or situations, particularly now at this season, as we kind of joked about, you know, about the whole thing of the different, how do you say, have a great time for the next 2 weeks in the proper way is problematic now. Mm-hmm. So I've been thinking a lot lately about how do we respond as Christians in a society that isn't necessarily Christian without either being too militant or being too passive in response to situations that come up. And Jim and I were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of wonder as you watch different scenarios how you are supposed to feel or to when you are to react. And on both ends of the scale are both right, where you have like the Pope, who gathers with all the world religious leaders at this time and spends time praying to radically different gods and supporting radically different religions. And yet in the name of love and peace, his conviction says that's right. Or on the other end, are we out there and we're supposed to protect what is truth and be offended by all those that is not? And so are we out there exposing and uncovering what appears to be just these falsehoods on top of a religious holiday, which in reality is not religious at all, or has, you know, is more of like a day off from work and celebrating anything you really want to celebrate on that day? How as Christians are we supposed to react? And what's a guiding light? Do we support the Pope and what he does on that, or should we be offended as he gathers with the world leaders? And on the other end, are we to protest everything that looks very non-Christian, which is kind of funny anyways for Christmas, for us to be offended when the tradition of Christmas in itself is not really stemmed from the Christian movement, but more of a secular and more of a pagan holiday. So what do you think, Adam? How are we supposed to react?
I think you act any way you want, because no matter which way you act, it's the right way.
Whatever seems right to you, just do it.
Yeah, just do it. That's fine. I think even before addressing a question of how should we act, we have to clarify what it is that we think, what it is that we're seeing. You know, before we can say which mode of behavior I'm taking, we first have to say, how is it that I'm perceiving this? What is actually going on here? What is going to undergird and inform my action? Because any number of motives and meanings can inform an action. Even taking the trash out. You can take the trash out because you feel obliged to do it, because you feel guilty about doing it, because your wife demanded that you did it, or you can do it as a gift and an act of love, whether anybody sees it or not. It's all the same action, mm-hmm. behavior. Mm-hmm. But the meaning of the behavior is very much constrained and informed and created by your outlook on that behavior. And I think for us, particularly seeking to express Christ into a pluralistic society, we have to first assess, how do we see our society? Do we see it as an antagonist? Do we see it as an alien society in which we are pilgrims? Or do we see it as our society which we're seeking to reclaim? Do we consider ourselves a continuation of some Christian American heritage that has been the dominant heritage in our view of our nation? Or do we see ourselves as seeking to claim an America which has always been conflicted and in many ways primarily secular for Christ? See, so how we orient ourselves in relationship to our society determines the course of our behavior. Hmm. For example, America has always been a very disparate society in its expression. So do we look at our society and say, we're trying to, again, be one voice in it, or we're trying to now assert our voice to constrain it to be something it never was? Mm-hmm. So how did you see that situation with the Christmas blend?
Well, the person telling me the story kind of took offense to it, thinking that, well, you've now minimized what Christmas is somehow by calling it just the holiday blend. I didn't quite see it that way. I tended to agree that, yeah, might as well call it the holiday blend. I'd rather you didn't slap Christmas on top of a coffee bag. Mm-hmm. And so in many ways, what Christmas is to me has little to do with marketing and has little to do with trying to sell something as much. Although that's much of what Christmas is, I kind of appreciated the honesty of this particular store to go, okay, let's just call it the holiday blend. To me, that seemed more appropriate. Mm-hmm. But the more the question was, my mind was, what is an appropriate response to situations that come up like that, where whether it's in the workplace, dealing with people who just see everything differently than you do, and you want to respond in a way where, yeah, we have a lot in common, but yeah, we have some things that really aren't in common. And how do you maintain relationships in those conflicts? To me, that's where oftentimes the rub comes in. And it's not easy.
You know, I think it's kind of the irony of that is we get excited when there is scripture or something in advertising. And I don't know how we would feel as Christians if there was a picture of Jesus and the happy birthday Jesus blend. We'd probably be just as offended in that, making that statement, as we would by changing it to the holiday. And yet there are many other ways where you see Christianity used as a ploy or a way of marketing, and we're very offended by that. So I don't know, as a community, if we could gather together and say, this is when it's appropriate, this is when it's not appropriate. We get excited on, you know, the fast food when they print some scripture on the bottom of a cup, and we feel like we've won a great victory by having our own fast food with John 3:16 on the bottom of it. But in other ways, we get offended at a football game with a guy with a, you know, multicolored afro holds up a sign of John 3:16. It just kind of goes on as the ultimate joke of sports. So it really, as a Christian community, I don't know if we can agree on what offends, what doesn't offend, and when it's appropriate to use scripture and when it's not.
I think that it's kind of funny that the gospel message does offend, you know. Mm-hmm. And I guess sometimes is it the gospel message that's offending, or is it us? And does that, how much does that matter? I was thinking about people putting up nativity scenes in public places and how offensive that is to a lot of people, and what a stink arises because people are offended, whether it's atheists or someone of another religion, saying, you know, you're inflicting your religion on me by putting that up in the midst of a holiday season when what we're celebrating is ideally the birth of Jesus. And I was wondering what you thought about that.
It's kind of the situation philosophically, ethically, and religiously, culturally, very similar to there is no such thing as a free lunch. In reality, there is no such thing as a moral-less society. There's only a question of whose morals will prevail. In some ways, it's like children fighting over a toy or fighting over the backseat of a car, saying, it's my backseat, no, it's my backseat, no, it's my backseat. And what you have in many ways, the Christian community, we want to say this is our Christian society. Okay, so we have the right to express ourselves in it. But then as soon as the secular society picks up our icons, our symbols, our motifs, crosses, Christ, Christmas, we begin to lament, they took away our Christmas and they commercialized it. So we say it's our society, and then as soon as somebody else says it, no, that's my society. See, that's my symbol and it's my society. So these are my Christian themes, these are my religious themes, and you're an outsider, but it's our society that I own. You understand that? So in many ways, what it is that we as Christians, we want hegemony. We want Christianity to be few, that we are the few real Christians, and yet we want that to have control over the entire expression of society without other people who we would consider not to be Christians to steal our icons and use them however they want. So we don't want some big mega corporation to steal Christmas and commercialize it for its purpose, because that's our holiday. Yet at the same time, we don't want to be reduced in our ability to express our holiday and have it in front of City Hall. You see, because that's our holiday and it's our nation. So in other words, we want our holiday and we want our nation. Hmm. And here's the irony is that at the same time, we want to exclude people from calling it theirs. So we want us to be the few, the proud, the Christians. So in this battle, what ends up is that there is a hidden, underlying, unspoken morality that's at play, which is the morality of offense. For me to say it is morally wrong for you to put your morals off on me is a moral statement. So it's not that we've now become objective where there are no morals. It's just that my morals have won. You're not allowed to speak and I am, because I've spoken in the subtext. I have spoken underneath the issue saying, you're not allowed to throw your morals off on me and you have to listen to me saying that. So now I can get offended if you talk to me and I can take all kinds of issues against you and movements against you. But you're not allowed to say, hey, don't tell me I can't put my morals off on you. And so I have the right to be offended, but you don't have the right to be offended. That's that heads I win, tails you lose. So I can offend you with my statement that you must be morally appropriate as I define it. And this is why it's like kids fighting over a toy. Whoever gets to define morality is the one who wins. So if I define morality as not offending people, then I win because I've placed that morality on you. If you define morality as, quote unquote, bringing them to truth, that's what's moral and right and good, then you win. See, because now I have to capitulate to that. So it's really a battle of subtexts and social dominance, social power and ethical power and, you know, the power to speak or rhetorical power. That's what's at play. And very rarely do we want to admit that that's what we're doing. But when we take these kinds of social actions, that's what we're doing.
So going back to the bag of coffee then, what you're saying, there's a greater battle going on than simply what is the labeling on the outside of the bag of coffee, that there is a whole battle going on for, am I supporting and holding up for truth, or am I allowed to be offended because you have changed your marketing strategy to not just simply market the ones that believe in Christianity, but use the whole holiday season and say that this is a holiday blend rather than my blend.
Mm-hmm. Because we lament either way. We lament, like you said earlier, if they were to put the face of that we, you know, associate with Jesus, Jesus's face on it, and say, this is the Jesus blend. How dare you commercialize Jesus? We would get offended. And we lament all the time that Christmas has been stolen and turned into a secular holiday. But then when they remove the religiosity from it, we lament that the religiosity has been removed from our religious holiday. Hmm. You know, we want to get offended no matter what anyone does. Unless they become like us and capitulate to what we want.
And then you have to ask, what is the appropriate thing to do?
You keep coming back to that, don't you?
Well, in the Christmas season, mm-hmm. as a Christian, what aspect of Christmas is truly Christian? Mm-hmm. The exchanging of gifts, spending a lot of money and putting myself in debt to fulfill social obligations, which is a very negative way of looking at it. But I mean, it's just what aspect really of Christmas am I trying to hold on to as a Christian to maintain my identity as a Christian? So what aspect of it is going to offend me? And that's why the holiday bag didn't offend me because it has nothing to do with who I am as a Christian and what Christmas is to me. Mm-hmm. I think I'm more offended by some of the Christian marketing things that I see in most Christian bookstores than I am by whether or not a coffee place has the holiday blend or the Christmas blend. But I think stepping back, going, okay, what is Christmas? It's celebrating the fact that God entered into the world to save us, right? What we now add to it is a million different things. There's so much that has very little to do with what being a Christian actually is. And oftentimes I find myself in relationship with my coworkers or with people who I'm with who don't know Christ, is I wind up redefining for them what a Christian is. They're surprised to find out that I do this and I don't do that. Well, I thought all Christians do this and some Christians don't. And having to go, well, you know, it's a lot more complicated than that. And that often leads to interesting conversations then as to what is a Christian. It does help define who I am for them, and it helps introduce them perhaps to Christ in a way that maybe they wouldn't have been introduced before.
Mm-hmm. Hearing you talk, I'm reminded of the conflict that went on with the Advents so close to each other of John the Baptist, who lives his life in one style and one manner, and Jesus, who lives his life in another. And, you know, Jesus says, John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking, and you say, you know, the man is a demon. He's a wacko. And then he says, and the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a winebibber and a friend of sinners and a glutton. But wisdom is justified of her children. So here you have obviously interlinked ministries, John the Baptist and Jesus. Not only are they cousins, but one the forerunner and one Jesus Christ himself. The one being very conservative, very minimalist in his expression, and angry at his society so much that he gets his head cut off. But he opposing secular political figures who are operating in non-religious manners. Jesus coming as a liberal who addresses his criticisms at the conservatism of the religious practitioners, not of the secular leaders. And Jesus critiques them for their over-conservatism and gets himself executed. Two different approaches, both offensive.
To somebody.
To somebody. And both ending up with the murdering of the person that's giving them.
Mm-hmm. But both valid expressions.
Yes. And interlinked ministries. These are two faces of really the whole Christ event, because the ministry of John the Baptist is part of the whole advent of Christ. For those of you listening, the birth, life, ministry, teaching, death, and resurrection of Christ theologically often is referred to as the Christ event, that whole chunk, the whole thing that Jesus did there. And John the Baptist is part of that.
Yeah, I find the biggest irony of this season is that we're offended by all the things going on, and yet as a Christian community, we're always looking for that platform to share Christ, and the greatest movement happens during this holiday season. I mean, the goal of pastors is always to get on radio, get television, get out to a greater audience, and it happens naturally during this season for us, where TV shows air things, cartoons shift, movies shift, music shifts. And people lay down for one day of their lives and get together and try to relate, especially with family members and everything else. The giving of gifts, the tree, the hanging of lights, and really the union of families resembles more of Christianity at that point than any other day of the year. And we get all of this movement without doing very little work, and yet we're offended by all the movement that goes on. And we do everything we can to take the joy out of the day by protesting Christmas trees, by protesting the sharing of gifts or the commercialism that goes on. And yet it's the very thing that as a church community we strive to get our voice out there, saying we have a better way. And it naturally, people in their hearts seek after something that day. I think sometimes as Christians we shoot ourselves in the foot and say, don't celebrate the day this way, but celebrate it in our own conservative ideology of what that day should be celebrated, which was taken from pagan roots to begin with for this day. And so we're offended that they've shifted the holiday that we took from somebody else.
Don't let them take our holiday back for themselves.
Yeah. I think as we were talking about living in a pluralistic society, as Scripture says that, you know, we're strangers and pilgrims, and where I see the expression of Christ in that pluralistic society come out the best in my own life is usually when I'm going through a crisis.
and somebody sees Christ being lived out through me as I struggle with life, or somebody else is going through a crisis, whether it's a brother or sister in Christ, or somebody who is of another faith or whatever, and they're going through just wrestling with life, and we can come together and talk and relate the different ways we meet those crises in our life. And that's where I see Christ come out in my life a lot.
Yeah, that emphasis there that you have grabs the difference between an abstracted way, like capture the flag that we have a tendency to be with these issues. We take some dry issue and then we fight over it like it's a trophy, as opposed to living our Christianity with these people observing us. You know, I think one of the things that frightens Christians that you hear all the time about, oh no, the pluralistic society, this will be the death knell of Christianity. We can't forget that Christianity arose in Roman times, incredibly pluralistic and dominated by pagans. You don't hear Paul going off about the Romans, nor do you hear Jesus going off about the Romans and about changing society and all that. They just said, I have, you know, like John, I have met the living Christ. I have found him. Let me share him with you. And that's where, like for me, to get back to our original question, how do we behave in a pluralistic society? What do we then do? I think we have to recognize that a pluralistic society is a tremendous opportunity for us, because a pluralistic society says everybody has a voice to say something, and that gives us a voice. We can step out and say, yeah, oh, okay, you believe in, you know, umbly bum over the seven moons or whatever, and I believe in Christ. I think the problem is we want to start from the position as though we are dominant. This is the truth, and what you have is of no consequence. And we don't want to work out dialoguing. And I think that that's an issue of doubt, because we don't believe that our gospel will hold more true than someone else's. So we don't want to dialogue. We want to start with, we're right, you're wrong, and now, so how can I make sure that you are silent and I can continue to speak, rather than saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that if I share the truth of my life, that he actually has met me, that he actually will meet you, and that he calls people who are not looking for him. And all I have to do is say, oh, that's what you believe? That's nice. That's interesting. I've learned something. Now let me tell you what I believe. And I can trust that the Holy Spirit will grab them by the backbone and work them toward redemption, like he's done for us. Because I believe that God loves them.
That looks like all the time we have today. And again, there's so much to say on this topic. Maybe we can pick this up at a later date. In the meantime, Chris, thank you for being here today. Jim, thank you. And Adam?
Happy holidays.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
Whatever your holiday. We'd like to thank Media City Sound for helping to make Interface possible. Happy holiday, Media City Sound. Happy holiday, Chris Holowaty, and thank you for engineering the program today. And happy holidays to you. And thanks for listening.